Okay, this coming Shabbos is going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Lech Lecha, and of course, Parshas Lech Lecha begins with the words, Lech Lecha, with a command to Avram Avinu to go ahead and go on his own. Now, what's the big deal about the test of leaving Hashem, if Hashem promises Avram Avinu a major reward for following him? So the Medrash comments that the test of Lech Lecha was a test of forgetting everything else that made Avram who he was until that point and becoming a totally different person. In essence, the Medrash is telling us Avram was supposed to become the very first person who became the virtual witness protection test case. You had to be totally different. Forget everything you know about yourself. So, because so long as Avram Avinu remained attached to anything in his past, he would not be able to go ahead and follow Hashem. Reb Leib Gurvitz, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, one of the founders of the Gateshead Yeshiva, the original Rosh Yeshiva, explained that a person is an outgrowth of the environment that he or she grows up in. And when that environment is one of bracha and idolism, then the person grows easily. But if it's difficult to be brought up in one model and to completely change into a different one. So therefore, if a person turns around and grows in one model, then we can expect that it's almost impossible, and it's a real test to see, can you rise up above the negative in that model in order to become something totally different? This is why we're so shocked when people change their background. When a person chooses to join the world of Shmiras HaMitzos, we have to be able to turn around and be impressed by those people. Because they had to change their whole upbringing in order to be able to become who they are. It's not just their withstanding of temptation, it's a total recreation. Later on, Paro turns around and he takes Sarah Imenu, thinking that she was a single girl with a brother. However, he figures out the error of his ways after spending a night trying to get close to Sarah. They sent him and his wife and everything he had out. So the Gemara in Sota on Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph notes that because of the four steps that Paro accompanied Avram on his way out of Mitzrayim, Avram's children were enslaved to Paro for 400 years, 100 years per step. So the Maharsha adds that even though the actual slavery was commanded because of a different issue, which we'll also read about this Shabbos, called the Bris Bein Abisarim, the Gemara still tells us that the reason why we were enslaved to Paro and Mitzrayim specifically was due to the accompaniment that Paro provided. Now, Rav Lessons Zatzal, the former Mashgiach in YU, commented about how this provides us into a glimpse into Hashem's vast ability to provide justice. I mean, after all, Paro barely accompanied Avraham. He tortured Avraham and Sarah, and still, Hashem rewarded him just for the four steps that he took handsomely. So clearly, Hashem takes everything into account when he's looking at his world, and that's something that we probably should be very acutely aware of and pay very close attention to. Then, of course, Avraham and Lot get into a situation because their shepherds can't get along. And so Avraham's solution is, he parried Nami Alai. Lot, yeah, it's time for you to separate from me. Now, how could it be that Avraham Avinu, who did the most kiruv in the world, would chase Lot away? How could it be assumed that Lot was that bad that he wasn't worth the Avraham Avinu magic that everybody else in the world was entitled to? And of course, the late, great Rav Reuven Grozovsky Zatzal explains that Avram was actually able to impact those from whom he was able to discern that they wanted direction in life. And when he saw that Lot was no longer interested in growing, that he was forging his own path away from Avraham, as the Gemara in Harias points out, then despite his attainments, it was no longer advantageous for Avram Avinu to live near him. When you're near people who don't want to grow, When the influence that they provide is an influence where they say, I'm not interested, then we're in danger, because the lack of growth all of a sudden becomes something that we also need to be aware of. We also need to understand that that's something that, for our purposes, if you're not growing, you're growing away or growing down. And so Avram had to let Lot go. Of course, Lot winds up in the midst of a situation as a result of the political battles between the four kings and the five kings. So when Lot was taken captive, the palit, the refugee, comes and tells Avram, "Who shochein be'elonei mamrei ha'emori?" And Avram was living in the tents of Mamre. Now, why is important here to note in the middle of the pasuk where Avram Avinu was? At this point, the key issue was that there was a battle. So, who wants to know where the refugee was and why he was coming? And moreover, we know from earlier that Avram was with Mamre. In Perek Yud Gimel pasuk Yud Ches, we already see that Avram was with Mamre. So, why do we repeat it again? So, Rav Yaakov Yosef, the famous original and only chief rabbi of New York, explained once that the Torah comes to show us how far a person will go in order to fool himself. Think about it. Od Melech HaBashan had intentions of taking Sarah as a wife after Avraham would die in battle. Now, why does he assume Avraham was going to die in battle? What would have been his great sin that would have made HaKadosh Baruch Hu decide, Avraham, you're chayev, you have to lose your life? Rather, says Rabbi Yaakov Yosef, Og assumed that since Avram was hanging out with Aner, Eshkol, and Mamre, he must have been in a bad crowd. After all, Avraham is a Jew, they're not Jewish. Presto, they must be bringing him down. And so thus, Og figured that Avram was going to be held guilty if he was tested in battle. He would lose his life, and then Og would be able to marry Sarah, the grieving widow. He was so intent on hatching this plan so carefully that Og never bothered to check the reality that Aner, Eshkol, and Mamre were not such a problem, and that they were actually being influenced positively by Avram Avinu. And so therefore, he didn't realize the danger of his situation. The Torah wants us to know v'hu shochein, to teach us this valuable lesson. Of course, Avram goes ahead and takes the 318 men, which is really just two, and he fights this great battle. And at that moment in time, Avram declares to the king of Sodom, who tried to make a deal with him, "Imichut v'atzroch now," that he's not going to take a string nor a shoelace. And the Gemara reminds us that when we get dressed in the morning, we put on the right shoe first, and then we put on the left one. But when we get together to tie it, we tie the left shoe first, and then the right one. Now, while this is but a minhag, it's an old one that goes back to the period of the Tanoim. So what is the minhag all about? So the Gemara explains that this is about having Hashem on our minds all day long and using every experience of life as a means of serving Hashem. But why do we tie the left one before the right? What are we supposed to take away from that? So Morinu v'Rabbeinu or Rav Shechter Shalita pointed out that he remembers seeing in the comments of Rabbi Kiva Eger on the page in the beginning of Orach Chaim, who cites the Haflah's commentary to the Torah over here, who reminds us that the shoe strap here is similar to the tefillin. The chut shel nal is similar to the chut shel tefillin. The sroch nal is similar to the strap of the tefillin. And so accordingly, Avram was rewarded with the mitzvah of tefillin for not taking from the king of stone. And by tying the left one first, it reminds us of the reward of tefillin commonly worn on the left arm. Says Rav Shechter to us, in this manner, we use even the simplest moments of our day to remind us of Hashem and of His mitzvos and of His involvement in our world. That's the job of a Jew. All day long I get the chance of thinking about Hashem. But then the pasuk continues, V'lo tomar ani ha'sharti es Avram. Don't say that I made Avram wealthy. And Rashi explains that Avram added that it was only Hashem who promised to make me wealthy, not you, Melech Sodom. Now the question has to be raised. Why was Avram Avinu so afraid that the king of Sodom was going to misrepresent Avram's success? After all, wasn't it unnatural that four kings who handily beat five kings would then fall into an army of two men of Avram and Eliezer? Who would not see Yad Hashem in that? And moreover, the king had already signed over the wealth. What was Avram afraid of? So Leib Chasman Zatzal, whose yahrzeit is upcoming this week, explains that this is the challenge of wealth. It's so great that it leads people to provide natural explanations for having wealth when the most obvious explanation, that it's siyata d'shmaya, defies them. This was Avram's fear. He was so interested in being mekadesh shem shamayim and was afraid that the Melech Sodom, in an effort to undercut that complete kiddush Hashem, was going to use money to take away the purity of the action. So it wasn't worth it to Avraham. And therefore he told him, you keep your wealth. I'd rather go ahead and stick to what I got. We also read about the Bris Bein Abisarim and the concern that Avraham Avinu had by Yotzeo Soachutza Hashem took him outside. Vayomer habeitna shamayim usvar kochavim tuchal lisporosam. Vayomer lo kol yezarecha. He took him outside, and Rashi explains he told Avram Avinu, Hashem told Avram Avinu, tzei meitzdagnino shalcha. Go out of your stargazing, because while it may be written in the stars that Avram and Sarai were not destined to have children, Avram and Sarah can have children. Now, why did Hashem need to change the names of Sarah and Avraham in order for them to have Yitzchak? Why couldn't Hashem simply change the stars and make their message obsolete? It's Rabbi Yudalei Bloch, the famous Rosh Yeshiva of Tells, who also has a Yahrzeit this week, explains that this is not the derech of Hashem. Hashem created the world with a sense of justice and truth, and he doesn't make changes to the basic rules of nature built on justice and truth unless he considered them beforehand. And hence the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that talks about all the things that were created Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos. It's more indicative of Hashem's abilities to keep the rules of nature that he created and still bring about the miracles through changes in the governance of nature. And so then, by simply changing the name, HaKadosh Baruch was able to keep both ends. That's more godliness, and that shows more godless of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so therefore, the declaration is actually better this way. Finally, in the Haftorah, we read, Mi'ir Mimizrach Tzedek, who is the one who aroused the righteous one from the east. So declares Yishayahu. It's this pasuk that, of course, brings us the connection to the Haftorah, as it is a reference to Avraham Avinu. But the question has to be asked, why is Noach introduced with such major fanfare? Noach, Eila told us Noach, Noach is tzaddik, tamim haya b'dorosav. And Avram Avinu is merely introduced with, Vayom Hashem Avram lech lecha. Avram should be introduced also. He's this great individual. He was an ish tzaddik. He was an av hamon goyim. So Rabbi Shalom Razner Shalita pointed out that the ultimate praise for a person is that he simply heard the call of Hashem and he responded. He didn't need coaxing and gloating. He didn't need to be given all the honorifics. He heard a call, and he responded. Avram heard that call, and he followed Hashem. That's all the praise that needs to be said about him. Already we know more about him than we need to. Sometimes in life, we need to rise up and hear the call, and hopefully HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us the ability, in return for hearing the call and rushing ahead, to be able to hear the ultimate call. V'haya b'yom ahu yitaka b'shofar gadol. And of course, at that point in time, Yihi Chalkeinu Imahem, Shabbat Shalom to all.